For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. This is God's word to us. He loves us, and underneath are His everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today about ministry opportunities for women. We've been talking for the last 3 days about what's been happening to feminism, and there has been at least one good thing, I think, that has come out of the feminist movement, and that is an awareness that women do have gifts from God, which are often not recognized, and the scope for the exercise of those gifts has not always been available. We do need to recognize that God has given us many different kinds of gifts. Femininity itself is a gift. And I have a good letter here from a girl named Stephanie, parts of which I'd like to read. These past few months have been a tremendous struggle. I struggled with the issue of getting my teaching credentials. I guess I struggled because I really feel that the Lord has placed the desire in my heart to serve Him full-time in ministry. And I don't know if a fifth year of school was part of His plan. The Lord has gifted me in the area of teaching, and I love to teach, although my desire is to be a teacher of His Word, somewhere, somehow. I finally came to the place where I told the Lord that I wanted only His will. I knew there was no room for mine. It was then that I felt peace that can only come from the Lord. Not to say that was the end of the struggle for me. I would like to thank you for the encouragement I have received from you, from hearing you, and from reading some of your books. I would also like to ask some advice. I would love to hear from you if you have any suggestions for me concerning ministry opportunities for women. I have been using this time at home to study, pray, and draw close to the Lord. I've been blessed as my walk with Him grows sweeter and richer. The desire of my heart is to serve Him and do what He has planned for me. I would love to have some advice. I don't know if there's further schooling I should pursue or if there are other contacts I could make as I seek to do what the Lord has for me. Thank you for reading of my concerns. Well, thank you for that letter. Stephanie, you know who you are, and I do appreciate it. I think teaching is one of the greatest gifts that God could give to a woman. Every woman is meant to be a teacher if God gives her children, and she may not feel that she has the gift of teaching as such, and yet God has promised wisdom when we need it, and every mother needs wisdom. But I want to say to Stephanie that some of my greatest teachers have been women who never taught in any school. Remember that ministry means service. A minister is really one who simply serves the people and thereby serves the Lord. Now, I understand perfectly well, of course, what Stephanie meant by her question. She's thinking of career, a way to support herself if God doesn't bring along a man who will marry her and take all responsibility for providing. And that I fully understand and applaud. It seems to me that since God created the woman to be a helper to the man, God having seen a need in the man that could only be met by His creating a new creature, the creature that could be the best friend and the helpmeet to the man was not found in all that array of animals that God had created. And so God saw that there was one thing that was not good, and that was that the man should be alone. And so He created a woman to be His helper. I believe that it was originally God's idea that every man should have his wife and every woman should have her husband. But we live in a fallen and a broken and a fractured world, and many things have changed. Many things have taken place that were not God's original plan, it seems to me. We have thousands, millions of single men and single women. Many of them would love to be married, and yet that does not seem to be God's plan for them. I do want to make it very clear that I believe that it is God's will for many men to be single and many women to be single. Single men and women have blessed the church through the ages in their consecration to God and their offering up to God of their singleness and even of their virginity. But I give all this background in order to say that I think that two clearly helpful ministries that women can have are those of nurse and teacher. And of course you will say, yes, they've always been the traditional careers that women pursued, nurse and teacher, and nothing else. And that makes some women very angry. But there's a lot of good common sense in women's being nurses and teachers, because they were created to be sympathetic and helpful and self-giving and serving. One of my very greatest teachers was my sixth grade teacher. She was a single woman in the public school. She had a lovely dignity, a great femininity. She was an example to us, but a born, God-gifted teacher, although as far as I know, she was not a Christian. But I thank God for Miss Evanson. Another profession that I certainly want to recommend very strongly, having had personal experience in that one, is that of missionary. What could be more wonderful for a single woman than to go out as a foreign missionary, learn another language, be perhaps a nurse or a teacher at the same time, or just a missionary as I was? My job was linguistics, but there are many who have gone out just to take the gospel. Think of Malla Moe, that amazing Norwegian woman, single all her life. She went to Africa. She went all over in a little, a wagon in which she sort of lived and traveled and went from village to village. And one of her biographers said, Malla Moe could not preach like Peter or pray like Paul, but she told thousands of the love of Jesus. To be a missionary is an excellent choice. After all, when you stop and think of it, most of the people in the world who have never heard the name of Jesus are outside the borders of the United States. Here in our country, of course, there is much missionary work to be done. And a question that is always leveled at missionaries is, why do you go overseas when there's so much missionary work to be done in your own backyard? One simple answer is that the gospel is available to anyone who wants it in this country. You can go to a bookstore and buy a Bible. You can turn on the television and watch a church service. You can listen to Christian radio. You can buy Christian magazines. And as Jim Elliot used to say, if you see 10 men carrying a log and 9 of them are on one end, which end will you help out on? I have two friends who are medical doctors, two women. That's a wonderful career. But if you're going to go into those high-powered, high-cost careers that require tremendously long and expensive training, I think a woman needs to face the fact that God might bring along a husband, in which case she might find it impossible to carry on her practice and be a wife and mother at the same time. Would she be willing to lay it down? In both the cases of my friends, one of whom is named Bunny, she's my dear friend who lives in California, and my friend Nancy, whom I haven't seen for many years, both of them laid down, at least for a part of their lives, that career of being a medical doctor. In 1 Timothy 5, we find some descriptions of what God expects women to do. And they come down to being handmaidens and helpers. Not prestigious jobs in the world's eyes. To be a medical doctor is a prestigious job, of course. To be a brilliant professor with a PhD, there's prestige connected with that. But I'm assuming that I'm talking to women who are not primarily interested in worldly recognition or acclaim, but interested in doing the thing that God made them to do, interested in pleasing Him. My heart's desire is to so live that someday, when I meet my Savior face to face, He will be able to say to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant." 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says, "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to work with your own hands, and to mind your own business." I think I've quoted that verse quite a few times on this program, because it's one that will never win any popularity, but it's what God says. What kind of a job are you looking for? Would you like to be a servant? I can't tell you the blessing that the Christian nurses were in the hospitals in which my husband Addison Leach was when he had cancer. He was in different hospitals, and of course I visited him there every day, and it was almost always very easy to tell which ones were the Christian nurses. There was something that they brought into the room that I would call the peace of God. There was a concern and a joyfulness in their caring for these sick people. God had given them that gift of compassion and service. I know that there are thousands of nurses who don't know the Lord. God has given to them the same grace, perhaps not in quite the same measure, but the Lord tells us that He makes His rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He gives grace to all those who do the work of God in the world, whether they recognize it or not, or do it consciously for Him or not, are being given grace by Him. So, ministry opportunities for women, I would put at the top of my list, nurses, teachers, missionaries.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.